So if I'm going to start playing golf regularly lately, do I need to get two pairs of golf pants in case I get a hole in one?
No, sir. I didn't like it.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is, I'm going to go with a one, maybe. I had, what, two of these?
Couple squirts.
Vodka and Crystal Light.
The drink of manly men.
The drink of champions.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to drink vodka and water. I got to put some kind of flavor in there. All right.
Lemon? Lime?
Mineral water with lime?
I do have a Moscow Mule would have been good, but I don't have any ginger beer. Anyway, we do hope that this episode finds everyone safe from Hurricane Ida. For those of you who don't live in the storm's path, consider yourselves lucky because this one was a doozy. So much so, in fact, that Jason is crashing at my house for the next few days because he's tired of living in a third world country with no electricity, no water, and that's pretty much it, right?
and heat.
Oh, and he wants air conditioning.
Right.
He's using me for the air conditioning. All right. In this episode, we're going to get a firsthand account of what it was like to ride the storm out from Jason. We're going to talk about the impact because I think out of everybody, you're the only one who actually...
stuck around. That was in the area that stuck around.
His gun.
Yeah, he went to Texas.
Smartly.
Yeah.
All right. We're also going to take a look at the impact that Ida's had on the Saints moving forward, especially in the first couple of weeks of the season. And of course, we're going to talk about the final roster, which was made final today. Am I right? The 53-man.
The first 53.
The first final roster.
Yeah. Right. Until they put Simeon back on, right? All right, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show, sitting next to me. What's your number?
Whoa, hey, good to see you.
Oh, hey.
What is this now? We have a professional.
Too bad we're not live streaming.
Right, microphone?
Is that a tandem bicycle y'all are riding?
I feel like we're the two old guys and the Muppets on the
balcony. It would have been better if it was. Is this a real radio microphone that I'm talking into right now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'll go with I'll probably be a three. I'm on my second cocktail. I'll probably get up and get another. He says four. Now I am making it in a big cup, but I had a long drive up here. I drove up from Metairie today, left at about noon, got here at about 5 o'clock. It's been a wild few days. It's been rough. Obviously, I'm thinking back, I probably should have left, but at least I had a generator to keep my food cold and save it and other things. We'll get to that in a little bit, but it's been an interesting few days. Definitely reminded me of Katrina when it happened and not driving around, seeing a lot of the damage, but you know, it's nice to be up here in the air conditioning and be able to take a shower. I hadn't showered since Friday until today. So
thank you.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing when it got here.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Survivor. It's like, you know, when you win the challenge and the challenge reward is a shower.
So just imagine, like, I smelled like this after 3 or 4 days. Imagine not showering for 30 days.
Yeah.
Were the windows rolled down in the car on the drive to Jeff's house?
No, we had the first AC we've had in like 3 days. So we kept it inside.
All right. And Wes, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm somewhere in the 3 to 4 range. I've had a few neat bourbons tonight. Just out of curiosity, are you guys sharing a drink? Is this two guys, one cup, or do you have your own drinks? I know you said large cup. Okay. There are some.
Yeah, I know.
They are both.
They are Saints.
Two guys, two cups. Got it.
Two guys, two Saints cups.
Right.
Love it.
I mean, come on. I'm not gonna drink squirts.
We might have to publish the video version of this.
It's not a bad idea.
We could probably upload it to the
to Facebook. People are gonna need something nice to watch after.
Have you drank squirt before? And I mean, by just drinking squirt, I mean, have you ingested squirt before?
Did you pay
extra for that?
I definitely haven't done it right.
Wow, that's where we're going tonight. All right.
Doesn't work when y'all drink at the same time. Somebody's
got to drink. Yeah, right.
Wes got to feel the dead air.
Right. Although I will say this, Wes definitely brings the drunk scale to the show every week. I got to commend you on that. That's strong.
Well, see, I'm sitting here, I'm texting you guys saying, like, is there a show and what time are we doing it? Because if there wasn't a show, like, I wouldn't have had a drink tonight.
I'm doing this
for the entertainment of everyone involved. This is commitment.
That's right. This is like old school Dome Patrol. We used to record, like, what are we recording tonight at, like, 8:30? We used to record at, like, think about this, like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Ugh. And we would get like sevens and sixes or so, because we would start drinking around 8, you know, to get ready for the show. We don't record until 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Wait till the first primetime game.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, even so, the 3 o'clock game, if we stick with that, is gonna put up some numbers.
Oh, you're talking about like the point after or the,
yeah, yeah.
The 2-point conversion. I mean,
the two point after conversion,
the 2-point extra point.
Never mind. Wrote what's his name? Our kicker missed the extra point.
That's why, like, I don't understand why Jason doesn't. I mean, well, I do. Why he doesn't like late home games,
yeah,
or late games. Like, I'm not a big fan of the 12 o'clock game because I feel like I'm like waking up and rushing and trying to get. Yeah, and then the game comes on, and then you're done. And God forbid you lose, then the rest, I can't watch
football. It's a long day. And especially if you're at a home game in New Orleans. I mean, listen, I'm an early riser. I'm up at 6:30 every morning. But in New Orleans after Saturday night, I don't want to be at the Dome at 10:45, walking those steps, trying to make sure I'm at my seat by kickoff.
Noon
is a way earlier in New Orleans. And again, to get for the kickoff at noon, you got to be in your seat quite a bit earlier and kind of get in there. And if you're in a 600 section, that's a pretty steep climb. That's just not a lot of fun with a hangover.
Well, it's like, I remember one year we went and I have family in California and we went and visit them. And I remember we woke up that Sunday morning and I mean, like, wake up, go downstairs to the kitchen for breakfast, and the first game is halfway over.
Yeah.
It's like, because it's, what is it, 10? They start at 10 in the morning or something. It's like, what the hell? Why is football on? And I haven't even, like, brushed my teeth yet or something.
Think
about psychologically, just like in different time zones, the culture of football.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Which also explains, like, 3 o'clock game for us is what, 3-2-1? That's like a 12 o'clock game for them.
Yep.
They don't get an afternoon game. So football is an early sport. Or it's kind of like soccer for us. Like if you watch Premier League, maybe, it's like a Sunday morning pre-football appetizer. You know what I mean?
And at least football sticks with the same times. Like, you know, on Sunday Central Time, it's noon, 3, and then you got your night game. Like with baseball, you've got your central team that plays at 7 o'clock, their home games all the time. And then they go to California and they got games starting at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I mean, you got baseball games ending at midnight on Tuesday night. Like, it's hard to be a fan of a baseball team in central time, or I can't even imagine Eastern time.
Oh, look, back probably in like 2003, 2004, 2005, when I was living with Courtney and my brother, we would get the baseball package and we would watch the Cubs games pretty much every night, even if it was, you know, Central, East Coast. But man, those West Coast games that start at 9 o'clock, kind of like Pelicans, Pelicans travel and play Golden State. It's like, I'll watch the first half, but man, I don't want to stay up to watch it. It's hard.
Especially because they suck.
But hey, they're going
to. If I remember correctly, we don't have a lot of noon games this year. Like, obviously, our schedule might get completely screwed up the first. Like
more than half of them.
It's a lot of 3 o'clock games from what I remember.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which was a little, considering we lost Breeze, I'm surprised at that. I mean, I know we're still one of those franchise, you know, we're still technically one of the bigger franchise. We're
completely wrong. We have 10 12 o'clock games.
More than
completely wrong on that.
Wow. I was thinking of last year.
I just wasn't thinking.
Okay. I think we only have 4 that are not primetime games or 3. Yeah, well, Let's take a look.
You know, the problem is a lot of these late games are home games.
One prime time, 3:30.
Right. We got Bills at night.
We have four prime time games.
Five.
Dolphins at night. Yeah.
So there's five prime times.
That's what it is. The 5 7 o'clock games is really throws it off.
That's a lot.
Right. And a lot of them are at home too.
And then you got 2 at 3:30. So that's 5, 6. That's half, pretty much. That's 7 of your 17 games.
Did the schedule come out that way, or is that really since the emergence of Tony Jones Jr.? Is that affected the primetime games?
I think it was more they saw what was coming from Marquez Callaway.
I think it's Tony Jones Jr. Yeah, we flexed already.
I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead, but did Alvin Kamara even make the team after Tony Jones?
We'll find that out. I mean, first we need to say hello, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody.
Zero right now. I just finished eating dinner. That's why I'm running late. Been a late night, so.
What did you have for dinner?
I had schlotzkis, French dip sandwich. It was pretty. I wasn't my favorite. It's not what I wanted, but that's what I had.
Did you get the Cinnabon dessert that goes with your
sauce? I did not. They gave me a cookie. I got a cookie. This little oatmeal raisin thing.
What?
It was some kind of family meal deal. I don't know. 4 sandwiches. Look,
Scott clearly didn't realize that I brought a lot of good New Orleans and Laplace food up here. I brought some boudin. I brought some shrimp. I brought some sausage.
Why aren't the three of y'all on the same camera? This would have been so much better. Scott's
right?
Just be right in the middle between you two.
But Scott, is it, just making sure, is it a rum raisin cookie? Like, are you going to have like a number after that cookie?
I might. You never know.
Who doesn't like oatmeal raisin?
I like that, Scott.
I don't like raisins.
For those of you who had to endure Scott's
popping peas on the previous podcast episodes,
I like that. Now you notice the placement of his microphone.
Oh, it's definitely
getting a new microphone, Scott.
No, it's not. I just have it above my mouth this time, so hopefully my peas won't pop. Like,
did you get a new retainer or something?
Is that what?
Did you get a new retainer?
Retainer?
Really making you enunciate?
Have y'all started the show?
Let it be known that we're still in introductions. Let it be known that this is just a teaser of what you're going to get on Saturday?
The massive crossover.
The massive crossover podcast event where the entire
is that just like for sure morning, happening Saturday.
Season kickoff. I don't know if we will either Saturday or something. We'll figure it out.
Even if I'm back home for the show, my generator runs and my cable and
gets your Wi-Fi.
And internet works.
Here in the background,
just, all the food is spoiled, but we got a show uploaded, guys.
Yeah, what'd you do? Oh, that's why you brought all that food up?
Well, I brought some food up here, but also my brother's got a whole home generator. So a lot of my, like the frozen stuff, like all my Billy's Boudin stuff, I dropped over at his house, put in his freezer. So he's good. And then the rest of it I brought up here to cook.
Because his stay ain't free.
Right. I don't want to come up here with nothing.
Makes sense. Either alcohol or food, one or the other. Or
I brought him some authentic andouille from Laplace, and who knows, it may be a while before we can get some of that, you know, soon. So,
all right, let's go ahead and get started talking about. actually, you know what? Let's. All right, here's what we're gonna do, because I'm sure everybody listening's like, okay, let's talk about the same.
Move along, meow.
So we're gonna wait to hear your hurricane experience. We're gonna talk about the Saints roster for let's talk about Saints roster, then we'll talk about Saints storm and the hurricane related impact, and then we'll segue that into your storm experience, so that if anybody wants to stop listening at that point, they can.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
Some people do says, and some people don't. Look, I think it's a very nice thing that we're going to do for them, is tell them that if you want to shut it down at that point, you could.
I would say,
and this could have been recorded before the storm. Like, Jason may not still be with us. Like, you have to listen all the way to the end to find out if Jason and his family are even still alive. Did they survive the storm? I don't know.
We have dogs.
Yep. Yeah. Look, I understand. You know, if you're not from here and you haven't been inundated with with all the storm news and updates, yeah, I can see how you want to hear about it. But considering the last few days, you know, we've been watching the local news and it's just over and over and over and over again. And look, it sucks, but it's nice to, for me, especially, to just take a break and not worry about it, because when I go back in a few days,
it's right back in.
It's still there.
Smack in, smack it, smack in the face.
It's not going back.
I always talk about Afghanistan.
Yeah, boy.
I sure hope the government's storm response is better than their.
I hope they can evacuate people better from here than they can Afghanistan.
They didn't. Jason just got here.
Yeah. 3 days
it take
later.
Gun to get to
right.
It took Galveston like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Is that one of the military dogs? Is that one of the military dogs that got
saved from Afghanistan? That is.
All right. Saints cuts, Saints roster stuff. So let's start. Let's see. I mean, so I don't think we need to go through every single person that was cut, because most of them you won't even know. Safety Eric Burrell, though. Stop me if you care, right? Natrell Jamerson. This is one that did not expect to be cut.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's a cornerback.
Well, we're definitely with the roster taking shape, we're still pretty light on cornerbacks.
There's, I know, gotta be somebody else coming in.
I know they list CJ GJ as a safety and he's really a slot corner, but
look at this.
PJ Williams can kind of go over there too if he can play any.
Brian Mills will fade away into obscurity.
He got taken.
Devonta Freeman, that didn't last long. You think they signed Devonta Freeman just so that they could cut him because he is a Falcon?
Quite possible.
Didn't we do that with somebody last year too? Like, we signed a former Falcon and then cut him 2 days later.
I think so. I remember.
Maybe you're thinking of Lance Moore signed with the Falcons and one day later was like, I'm retiring.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Or Josh Hill with the Lions.
Oh yeah. Kwon Baker, you know, the seventh round draft pick. Unfortunately for Mr. James Baker, Kwon Baker got cut, but I would imagine he'll be back on the practice squad. I mean, receiver is not a position that we've got a lot of depth on.
Surprise keep is Garrett Griffin a surprise keep? Not, I realize we're shorthanded at tight end, but I mean, is Garrett Griffin the answer to any tight end question?
Well, they kept him over Ethan Wolf.
Well, so that means we have Griffin and we have Troutman and we have Vanette still, even though they're injured, Johnson. They're still officially on the roster.
Right. Which tells me that their injuries are not that serious.
Does Garrett Griffin get cut when we bring in Thaddeus Moss?
It's kind of important to know that. It's kind of important to know that just because this is the 53-man roster now, it's going to change a lot.
I think a lot. I mean, we've got two kickers, and I don't know if either one of them is going to be on the team for week one.
Scott, what's that position where they, on fourth down, sometimes they drop back and they kick the ball to the other team? Tommy Barnhart was one of them.
A punter?
Yeah. Oh, your peas are popping.
Are they really? Still? I need to put it up here.
Well, now we can't hear you, which is great.
Scott, what's the first name of the cornerback Debo? I can't.
The cornerback. Rookie. <What's> his...
Paulson. Paulson.
Like fireworks going off in my ears.
Is it really that bad?
What's city do the Steelers play in?
Spurs. When you started to say what's that position, I was getting ready to say 69, but I just didn't.
Yep. It's popping.
Yeah, it's popping.
Still popping. All right.
I need one of these microphones.
I'm getting one like Gunn has.
Great. So, but we have to go through the whole season like this.
No, just till Christmas.
Yeah, it'll be here by the Super Bowl.
That's the whole season.
You can give me an early Christmas present, Jeff, and buy it for me.
Christmas present?
Present. A birthday present.
Scott.
Murray.
Present.
He's still on the roster.
Correct? It reminds me of the Friends episode where they started like spitting on each other because they had to pronunciate everything.
Way before COVID.
Yes.
Who did you just ask about? Murray. He's still on the team, right?
He is present.
And then people that also are on the team, Jeff Heath. I mean, now again, somebody in Texas, so I've watched Cowboy fans make fun of Jeff Heath being a terrible safety forever. Now again, I'm not saying they're correct, but he's been kind of made fun of as being a really bad safety that gets out of position. And we signed him a week ago and he made the team.
That's the guy they're going to drop to put Trevor Siemian back on the team.
Probably they're going to drop somebody. Simeon's going to get paid. I was surprised they cut Siemian, but word is they're going to pick him back up.
We'll sign.
Probably.
John Brown got cut by the Raiders. I would definitely look at him.
There's quite a few receivers that, I mean, whether they've ever been good or not, we can debate, but quite a few receivers that at least have a name, Laquan Treadwell and Pharaoh. A few people were cut.
Who was the one that got cut that played with Winston in Tampa or whatever? Was it Perryman?
Yeah, Perryman.
Oh, yeah, Bashaud Perryman.
Ouch.
You're killing him over here. Look at that.
He might be a good pickup. You know,
again, you know, these receivers seem like upgrades over some of our receiving crew, but I'm sure for whatever reason, the Saints aren't going to pick them up.
Well, I, you know, listening to the BS and beer from last week, and y'all were talking about Wes, how the Saints have been quote unquote burned with these big draft picks, and so they've decided that we're just going to go with these no names and coach him up, and it's worked. And to your points about like with Lil Jordan, like nobody, who the fuck is Lil Jordan to be playing in an NFL on an NFL team? And yet look at the way he's playing. Curtis Johnson's a great coach. We talked about that on the Dome Patrol last week. And you say we don't have the depth. Like if somebody gets hurt, we can pick somebody up and put him in, but isn't there a thing about our whole receiving core that it's, we have a hard offense for receivers to pick up and run with and learn. So that's why your boy, who was it? The Austin Carr stayed around for as long as he did because he knew the playbook.
And Tommy, like I was the one person I was surprised to see, or not the one, but one of the people I was surprised to see cut was Aesop Winston. I kind of thought with the special teams stuff that he was doing, and then I mean, he'd made some good catches and runs. I thought he'd stick around, but you look at our receivers, obviously you got Michael Thomas, who's not going to be there for 6 weeks, but Marquez Callaway, Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris, Little Jordan Humphrey, and Ty Montgomery.
Wait, Traquan's still on the team?
Well, hold on. Right. You're penciling him in.
There's some rumors that he will reappear before week one.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Vic.
I mean, so that's not bad if all those guys make it. And I believe we see Chris Hogan on this team again before the season's over. At some point, he probably gets signed 4 or 5 times. And if Chris Hogan is the guy that joins the team 4 times instead of Tommy Lee Lewis, I think that's a huge upgrade.
I mean, that is, but you're also like, yeah, being better than Tommy Lee Lewis ain't saying much. But I don't hate Traquan Smith. I'm just ready for him to like, dude, come on. This is year four.
Play 4 games in a row.
You know, like you're a third round pick. Like, come on, man. Like, We need you. We need you right now. Don't be that guy.
It's like that meme, that kid poking something out of stick and saying, like, do something, you know?
This is the time it makes a huge difference, the fact that Jameis flew him out to California and played with him during the summer because he hasn't played any during the preseason games.
Right.
So the fact that they at least got some time together might end up being really important.
That should help. But again, it's another one of those, you know, oh, yeah, he's out. Why? Where's he at? Oh, we'll think he'll be back sooner rather than later. You know, they say it all the time and these things always fucking linger. And like, I'm sorry, but for the first 6 weeks, we fucking need this guy. Like, come on, man. We need you.
And it's a good thing the Deontay Harris suspension didn't go through yet.
Thank God. And Lattimore, too. I can't imagine Lattimore's at this point, it's too late for any real suspension.
Yeah. From what I think Underhill posted today, that the court case is still pending. So they don't expect.
Yeah. The week one suspensions are
suspension.
The week one suspensions for the entire NFL are
set.
Announced. Onyemata is our only player that is suspended for at least week one.
I heard they might put Lutz on the IR, too, to make room for somebody because it's a COVID IR. So they can take him off whenever they need to.
Right. So what are they expecting on his time out at this point? I know he had the surgery. I know initially we're like, 6 to 8 weeks, but is it going to be?
They haven't really said anything about it. I mean,
no update. I mean, I don't have any moving yet, but it's going to be a minimum of 6 weeks.
I saw Baltimore did
where he got care,
but I'm sure he's going to be the first guy picked off of waivers. A bunch of teams cut kickers.
The Lions cut both of their kickers.
The Lions cut both their kickers.
Yeah, if the Lions aren't picking up Verity, that surprised me. But both of the Lions kickers are probably better than what we have right now.
Hey, Dan Campbell's a nut. He might just roll with no kicker.
I mean, look, analytics may say just fucking go for two.
He did sign Josh Hill and Alex Anzalone.
And one probably retired.
You go for two and you punter for kickoffs, but what about the 35-yard field goal?
Fucking go for it. Okay. Yeah, just go for it. I mean, just
Taysom has slimmed down. He's got
That's Sean's real plan. He's not going to be quarterback, but man, when y'all thought he did everything else,
now he's going to kick.
He's had him practice at kicker, and nobody's even been reporting it because they were so worried about him. To be quarterback.
That's why he sunset quarterback. He was spending too much time kicking the ball.
It seemed like Sean said that three times today of, oh, we have lots of plans for Taysom, lots of plays for Taysom. He's going to do a whole lot of things on offense. But that's not why he's not the starting quarterback. I was like, okay, stop saying that. You're like kind of kicking him in the nuts every time you say, but it's not that's because of all that talent that he's not the starting quarterback. It's because he lost the job.
Like, did you say kicking him in the nuts?
He did say that.
Right? That's what I thought he said.
Okay, just making sure.
Okay. So, Book made the team?
He did.
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
Yes. He's one of the three quarterbacks on the roster.
I mean, he's our, you know, we're going to need Taysom in certain spots. Book's going to be the backup. But one thing that stood out to me, and we kind of saw it in the preseason, is that we kept seven linebackers. Like, remember coming to the draft where, like, linebacker was a tough spot, and now all of a sudden – linebacker is maybe these.
That's called overcompensation.
I would say no. Other than offensive line, linebacker is the strongest position on the team now.
I wonder if we're not keeping those linebackers because we're going to trade one somewhere. I mean, seven linebackers is massive when you're, I mean, keeping three real cornerbacks and five receivers.
It's kind of like, man, it would have been nice to not draft a linebacker in round two and draft a cornerback or a receiver. Obviously, they didn't know that Bond and Ellis would really step up, but now it's like we didn't even need to draft a linebacker.
One of those linebackers either getting traded or talked into taking an IR spot on their injury.
We're going to run more 3-4s in the first half of the season until Onyemata gets back.
We can run a 1-7. What are you talking about?
Really?
We don't have an interior defensive lineman.
That's like the punt or kickoff or kick coverage where you line like the one guy and then the six guys on the outside.
You just got Davenport and a bunch of linebackers out there. What are they gonna do?
Hey, he can do it. He just can't spin. We'll just push him back. All right. Anybody else that other teams cut that you're genuinely interested in besides what Perryman?
Perryman and John Brown are the two guys I saw.
Yeah.
I know every team is looking for cornerback, so I can't imagine a quality or somewhat quality quarterback is going to be.
I feel like we need another cornerback. I feel like we have three, like, viable. I mean, I'll see JGJ, four.
Well, Desmond Trufant got cut by the Bears. And then the stupid thing, Trill Williams made the roster of the Dolphins. The Dolphins have, there's things they have problems at. They have good cornerbacks, and Trill Williams made their team. Trill Williams might be our number two cornerback if we weren't playing around being stupid with the roster numbers and saying that they didn't even say it didn't pass a physical, but had a medical evaluation and then a day later tried to sign him. They were trying to be cute with the numbers. And now there's a guy that made the roster of the Dolphins that we had for free. That was one of the number one undrafted free agents that came out this year. I mean, I hope this Trill Williams thing isn't something worth, the rest of this year and 3 years from now, looking back going, that was really,
there's no accountability at the Saints front office.
I mean,
it's true.
Hey, he said it before I did. I was leaning in to say it. He knew.
Y'all leaned in at the same time. I thought there was going to be a moment there.
Well, that is the one thing about him being like, he knew where he knew I was coming in, and he
I saw him.
He picked it. Like Trill Williams is going to do this year.
Hopefully not when the Saints play him.
Ooh, that's going to happen now. You willed it.
I spoke it into existence. Yeah, well.
All right. The other thing that's going on is the Saints are now practicing in Dallas. And the first game against Green Bay will not be played in New Orleans because there won't be power. Maybe not even water. Who knows?
Have they officially announced that?
It's not.
I mean, I doubt it's going to happen, but I don't think they've officially.
It's pretty strongly hinted at.
I mean, I think there will be. I think there will be water. I just don't think the power infrastructure. And even then, in terms of getting like, okay, yeah, let's say, oh yeah, we got the dome power, but what about the people that are coming to the game that are all either scattered or no power or something? So to me, it just makes sense to not have this game here.
Well, not only that, but you can't take security and take it off the streets if we're still in the hurricane war zone to all patrol the Saints game.
You also can't have people selling beer to you that haven't showered in 3 weeks.
Well, right.
Never mind.
That always happens.
You saying I could have sold beer at the Superdome earlier today?
No, you're more of a Zatarain's.
Have you ever on the way?
You're more of a Zatarain's bowl guy than
The alligator sausage and the meat pie.
Is that the alligator that ate the man?
Oh God, nope.
Yep, tore his arm off and then he disappeared.
So I mean, it sucks for us, but it does make sense to not have the first game here. It's even if they get power back, the logistics of getting everything else in place, it just doesn't make sense.
But how it played out too then is Jerry Jones comes out and says, "Oh, we're working on a deal. We're going to have the Saints play the game here in Dallas." And then somebody else says, "No, that can't be done because of this concert that's happening 17 days before."
This wouldn't be the first time that Jerry Jones has said something that made no sense and wasn't accurate.
No, his eyes aren't too far apart.
But so, and this is what I was talking to somebody earlier when they were like, "I think it's going to be there." I'm like, "It's not going to be there." I know a few people that work at the stadium and do some stuff there. The concert that's happening 4 days later is moving in on Saturday. It's a big undertaking.
Oh, it's the Undertaker?
No, nope. Los
Bukis. It's like the Mexican version of the Beatles.
Every single member, there's like eight members of the band. They all look like what we're supposed to believe Jesus looks like, without the beard, but the long flowing hair and the. I mean,
are you going?
They're beautiful. Yes.
I want to hear why we.
I could live stream it on this Zoom channel.
I might want you to.
There's just not a way to get the team into the AT&T Stadium, get the stadium all set up for football, and then get everybody out, and then turn it back over for the concert that would then be 2 days later. So they're just logistically can't work. And then multiple places here where the Saints can practice. They've talked about them practicing at TCU and SMU, along with the two Cowboys stadiums. But they cannot play an NFL game unless it's at an NFL stadium. Can't throw an NFL game at – and I don't know why this didn't come up last year because there was a lot of talk of the Saints playing in Baton Rouge.
That's what I was about to say.
Right. That was never Katrina actually an option. That was something the Saints were threatening to the city of New Orleans. But truly, from what I understand today, cannot happen.
But so this is
didn't they play a game there during Katrina?
2005, they played the half in San Antonio and half in the Baton Rouge. I think
it's been something that's come since then with the
Goodell.
But it's also with a lot of like all the HD cameras, some of the gambling, like it has to be like a pretty much like an NFL venue.
So from what I understand,
they play in San Antonio. I mean, I know it's not an NFL venue.
What I understand now, the places we can play is Jacksonville, Miami, San Francisco, Denver, Arizona, and Seattle. Arizona is the only indoor stadium of that. So I mean, if we're being real and calling this a Saints home game against the Green Bay Packers, I'm not sure if going to Seattle makes a lot of sense for the Saints. As far as if we're
going to have
any type of home field advantage during this game.
Yeah, I think they said they didn't want to go to the West Coast. Like, that was just
right, because they have a couple games on the East Coast.
So then you're talking about Jacksonville and Miami.
Or Arizona.
Or possibly Arizona.
I think Arizona
is going to be the spot. One.
Arizona is grass. It's not turf.
Right.
But it's a field that's wheeled into the stadium, but at least it's indoors. It's not like a normal Outdoor, right? I mean, look. Either way, it's not. Nothing's going to be ideal. It's kind of, you know, we got a home game. It's not a home game.
It's going to be like they played last year in front of nobody.
I mean, well, that is the one thing. Like the first game back, at least there will be some fans there. I mean, last year they didn't play in front of a bunch of fans.
Well, no matter what,
tickets away.
No matter where they played the first game, we understand that the Saints are going to be living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for the next 4 weeks. And this, I just can't think this is ideal as far as, I know we have a pretty decent, easily scheduled after the Packers. This is not the way to start the season. Like living out of hotels, not having their own home cooked food, not having their own facilities, being bussed around everywhere, being weird curfuews for every single night of the week, not just the day before the
and still this dealing with
isn't
with
a way to get dealing with COVID. And then also wondering how their homes are, wondering what their family's doing.
Oh, I mean, look, they said 4 weeks. I mean, I think in 2 or 3, there actually will be, because I think power in 2 weeks, I think power will be in the majority of Metairie. Not just the facility, but where all their homes are. So I think in 2 weeks they'll be back. So I don't think it's going to be as long as 4 weeks, but it's definitely not ideal, especially the year coming off of having to replace Drew. I mean, the good thing is if a guy could lead this, it's Sean Payton and not Jim.
We're definitely in a better spot than we were.
It was a totally different situation, but I'd have a lot more faith in Sean Payton than.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Payton practicing in a parking lot. Like, right. It's just...
Payton's done this
before. Well, Payton did this his first year in New Orleans. Right, I mean, there's some experience there, and I think some things that he'll know to say to the team. But still, it's not an ideal situation for everybody having the most rest and the best practice and the best meals and all that stuff.
It is kind of interesting, the parallels, because, you know, you talk about when Sean Payton and Drew Brees came after Katrina. Even if it was a year later, it was this cleansing, this washing, this like we're starting over, draw a line in the sand, anything about even the culture of the organization, everything is in the past and we look ahead from here. And in a way you could, right, if you're talking about Sean Payton, master motivator, if I'm him, I would almost use this as, look, everybody's wondering about the whole Breeze. Well, it's a post-Breeze era. Nothing better than like, you're right. So stop looking back at the Breeze era. This storm has wiped the slate clean. We are starting over. This is our football club now.
Well, it's like you always say, Jeff. He always wants a crisis.
Yep.
Jeff always says that.
Yes, he loves a crisis. He didn't. So you think Sean Payton manufactured this crisis?
I think he made the storm.
He made it wobble when it wobbled.
Would you say this leads to Winston being our franchise quarterback the next 15 seasons?
Yeah. So this is the interesting thing, right? Anytime the Saints have a quarterback that wears the number 2, a storm destroys southeastern Louisiana. And so I think we need to start a petition for Jameis Winston to change his number, because we can't have this every year for the next 15 years. So
it maybe needs to be one of those, like Archie is an unofficial, nobody can wear number 8. We need an unofficial, no quarterback can wear number 2.
Let's retire the number 2.
Retire number 2.
I think a couple of players asked to wear number 8 this season.
And like, I mean, look, I know Archie is the forefather of Saints, but I mean, he's not that good to the point where his number should be retired. Drew, yes, nobody should ever wear number 9 again. But number 8, I don't know. I know this maybe because the Saints' history has been so shitty. That's the one guy they could cling on to. But at this point, to me, 8 should be
available. Yeah.
The only number that should never be available now is number 9.
Archie is better in people's heads. You know what I mean? Like it's now the legacy, the legend of Archie more than the reality.
He threw almost 50 more interceptions than he did touchdowns in his career. Like, I mean, I like Archie Manning. He's a nice guy. And it's great that he stuck with the team.
You said he threw 50 more.
He threw almost 50 more interceptions than he did touchdowns in his career.
The next time anybody brings up Jameis Winston's 30 interceptions, ask them if they like, do they think Archie Manning was better?
And well, first of all, it was one season
of Jameis's career, and he still threw more touchdowns than he did interceptions.
The thing with Archie is that. It's not just about his playing. It's about his family in New Orleans. Like, they settled in New Orleans, they lived there. You had the, you know, Peyton and Eli and Cooper, and now you got Arch. Like, it's the whole
correct me legacy. If I'm wrong, but none of those guys stuck around.
I understand.
But no, all those things Jameis Winston did in this offseason. Jameis Winston moved to this his family to the area and had good interviews, just like Archie Manning. But
right, but Archie,
if he doesn't produce Archie on the field, then it doesn't matter, lived, is what I was told.
What I'm saying is Archie has lived in the city. He's a fixture. They're like royalty in the city of New Orleans.
I mean, I'll give you that look, Archie is royalty in New Orleans. And the one thing about Archie's playing days in terms of his stats, like, the organization was so goddamn dysfunctional. You know, like, that's he got fucked. If he went to any normal franchise, he wins playoff games and he does that. And he got kind of screwed here, and he does get a lot of credit for doing that. But yes, you know, it's nice, but I mean, I don't know if somebody wants to, if Alvin Kamara wanted to wear number 8, I'd give him number 8. I'm sorry.
That just wouldn't look right, though.
It wouldn't. What, he changed his number, right? Is he still 41? Didn't he change
his number? He's still 41.
He's still 41. Okay.
At least Marcus Callaway looks good, number 1. I'll give him that.
It's on the front of his cereal box, so he can't change his number.
Okay.
AK-41. Said AK-47. He should have been like a 47.
That's what it should,
you know,
have
it's,
but that was Anzalone's number. We couldn't let anyone else take it.
But yeah, so it does suck not getting. Look, I was looking forward to the opening game, the first game back with a lot of fans. Really looking forward to it. So, you know, we'll have to wait a couple weeks. It sucks, but
that was a noon game too, wasn't it?
No, it was a 3:20 game.
Oh, yes. Well, then look, you're not missing out. You don't have a.
Yeah, I mean, I miss out on a home game, but you know.
But at least it's not one of those coveted noon.
But games. No, but look, it's just, there's nothing we can, it's, I'm sorry, it's the way it is. I mean, it sucks, but we move on. Look, the whole last year in terms of being a season ticket holder sucked.
I mean, yeah, but even still, like, you think about this, like, even when hurricanes hit other cities where there's NFL teams, they never, like, the Saints have, like, you can't, there's no other franchise that has had to deal with the type of shit the Saints have had to deal with.
What about, I mean, when Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, were there any issues there? I don't know if they had to move their game, but there were a lot of issues for that, right?
Jeff, are you saying the team should move to San Antonio? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying how amazing our team is and how well we are led and that we can deal with all this shit and still put together a winning franchise.
I think it's eventually just going to bring the team even closer together. Like, we already had probably a good locker room and good leadership, but even Peyton was saying today that, you know, given the circumstances, he really enjoyed meeting the players' kids and the players' families, and something that he probably wouldn't have done as much if this hadn't happened. And I think it's going to bring everybody kind of closer together.
There's been something too the last 2 years that, when the season started with Drew Brees healthy and on the team, that the defense didn't have good starts. And then around the time Drew Brees got hurt, started missing games, the defense just, I mean, honestly, the last two seasons, after Drew Brees got hurt, the defense became a top 3 or 4 or 5 defense in the entire NFL, like, overnight. I mean, Drew's missing, defense is awesome. And there's something that can be said to maybe that being kind of the prevailing thing, that this team just has to step up. There is no true quote unquote leader that's surefire Hall of Famer that's just taking over this team and that they can all lean on. And so that the entire team has to step up and all work together and truly do their best. There could be something to that going into the season at the beginning rather than having something that gets taken away.
It is interesting because if you look at even the preseason game where we watched DeMario Davis giving the pep talk and Jameis Winston, the quarterback, standing there. And I love the joke somebody on Twitter made, how, like, they were like, DeMario Davis is like the preacher who's in the, you know, yeah. And then Jameis is like the deacon on the side. That's always like, yeah, pray. Amen, brother. You know, like, cause he was just kind of like reinforcing what DeMario was doing. And it's a different vibe than when Drew Brees was, you know, Drew Brees loved the military and he was very militaristic and he was very focused and hard work and this and that, where DeMario's style of motivation is more like, let's go destroy let's, you know, like there's a different swagger to it. There's a different feeling and tone and attitude and personality.
Aggressiveness.
Yeah, yeah. And which is a defensive mentality, right? You know, like an offensive mentality, you want like what Breeze would do. Whereas a defense is all about the dog, you know?
Breeze had that executional leadership of, we're just better than them, period. We're just better. Where DeMario Davis is like, we're going to punch them in the mouth. They're going to try and hit us back. And then we're going to knock their teeth out. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just a different attitude.
DJ to get them to throw a punch at us.
And then there's DJ.
But yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, Drew Brees, it was more of a, everybody play with focus, play with discipline, do what you've done.
Execute.
Yeah. Now the risk to this, I think, animalistic style of play is more mistakes because you're not putting the focus on.
Are the Saints an often flagged and penalized team in the NFL? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, but not the Rams aren't. But this will be the first year that we actually deserve the flags.
Right.
So I was just thinking about something just now with everything going on, you know, coming into this season, you had the not having Drew anymore and having a new quarterback. And like I mentioned before, a lot of people I talked to weren't really thrilled with the prospect of Jameis Winston being our quarterback. So even though he won the job and we thought he was going to win the job, a lot of people weren't excited about it. And then you have the whole, well, now you need to have your shot or have the negative test. So I think the dome atmosphere this year was maybe going to be not like we've come to expect the last few years. But now with this storm coming in, kind of the same thing that happened in 06, like a lot of people are now going to rally, especially missing this first game. A lot of people are now going to go back to rallying around the Saints, regardless of, you know, considering what
now, I hope,
you know, like, I mean, I'm just thinking like we've been through this again. We're known to kind of rally. And so I think the dome atmosphere like that, you know, especially now having to miss the first game against Green Bay, which a lot of us were looking forward to. Now we're going to miss it. So let's say, you know, when's our next home game? Week 3, week 4?
Week 5. Well, 4.
Yeah. I think it's week 4, right?
So 1 and then 2 road games. And then
games. 2 road games. Okay. Yeah. So now there's going to be even more pent up anticipation for a home game, and everybody just dealt with this shit. The Saints are the one thing that no matter what, this region has always rallied around. So now I think the dome atmosphere, especially when that first game coming back is going to be incredibly emotional,
yeah,
considering what a lot of people will have gone through. So maybe, I mean, look, I'm not going to say a hurricane of this spent, it sucks. It's never positive, but I think the Saints may benefit a little bit from everybody's going to be now all in on the Saints, because after everything, a lot of people have lost, the Saints are always been the one thing that we're going to get behind. So I think you're going to see the dome atmosphere be, not that it's not insane, but like, it's really going to be nuts.
And that first game, that's October 3rd against the Giants. It's a full month later.
Yeah. So like
any chance Steve Gleason rolls out on the field and blocks a punt? No. Okay.
I mean, we could,
he should lead the Hoodat chant.
This could be a totally ignorant, like Homer idea, but I really do believe what you're saying, Jason, too, is that the Saints team and the identity of the city of New Orleans mirror each other probably more than most NFL franchises. I mean, I could throw this like Seattle and Pittsburgh maybe in there as like, there's not a lot that they have, but those are truly loved in their area.
I definitely see Pittsburgh.
Green Bay. So stuff like that. Green Bay actually owned by it. But I think that's such an old franchise that that's kind of become the cool thing to like Green Bay. There's a national kind of presence where in New Orleans, there's more of a local. They're really, the team is tied to the, I mean, this is a team where every single person that lives in New Orleans basically knows where Drew Brees' house has been the last 10 years and hasn't bugged him and given him shit or stood outside his house. And I mean, after good or bad games, like it's just kind of a thing. And so I agree with you. I think that it's one thing that can rally the city around the team, but this is a team that rallies around the city too. So again, I'm not trying to have like too much of a simplistic Homer view to that, but I really believe that's something that we have.
I think it's going to be a big thing this year after what's happened in the last few days. I think that's going to be really, really big going forward.
forward. And hopefully this is one of those things that's kind of the storm was just big enough to miss one home game and get everybody riled up, but not big enough for us to miss an entire season at the
right. No, I mean, that's the thing.
So that, I think that would be key. It would be just the right amount of.
Now the region, the area is, and we can kind of use this as that segue, but the region and the area is decimated. It's devastated, you know, and I think a lot of people nationally, right. I think what's going to happen is nationally people are going to turn their attention away because New Orleans wasn't destroyed. You know, the levees didn't break. It's not all that catastrophe. And I almost get that out there.
I don't even think that made sense what you said.
But I was the word it's came not out, all right. Catastrophic, right? It's not the catastrophe that it was. So I think nationally, like the rebuilding, we're going to be on our own. Like you thought, like we were not on our own after Katrina. The whole country and parts of the world all chipped in to help rebuild New Orleans. And I think what's going to happen this time around is, even though the city of New Orleans, I mean, you know, it's a regional thing, the region's going to be on our own. And that, I think, is going to bring us even tighter. If we weren't close enough as it were, as a region, as a state, as a culture, this is only going to make it more so. The Saints are going to be a part of that. And, you know, another tweet I saw during the storm, or, you know, when all the damage was coming in and somebody had tweeted, they said, you know, in a lot of ways, we look at the where the country's been the last several years and how divided everything is. And it's like, if you don't agree with something I say, then we have to be mortal enemies. And everything is such a polarizing topic. And you can't be friends with people you disagree with. And I think what I loved is that people were like, this storm kind of gave us, it's that moment to kind of look and say, you know, there's things much more important than whether I agree if I should wear a mask or not or with you or something like that. And I think they said, the tweet was like, if you want to see what humanity looks at, watch Southeast Louisiana for the next several months, because I guarantee we're going to all put all that shit aside to rebuild. Now it's going to come back. Everybody's going to start fighting again at some point.
There will be no more shootings in the city of New Orleans
for the next 3 minutes.
Well, but I mean, really, like this time around, the New Orleans damage, it wasn't nearly as much as before. Right. I mean, you had some buildings get some damage downtown. One of the buildings by where we would tailgate got completely demolished, which sucked. But
how'd the Hard Rock turn rubble fair during the storm?
The what?
The Hard Rock.
It was yeah,
Jason, did you stop by the Hard Rock before you left town? Just to see how.
If I'd have known, I'd have tried to. I could have probably got in on airline, but.
Well, you know what I'm talking about? The pile of.
Is Cinnamon still there, or did she have to go somewhere else?
I want to know if the dead bodies have been pulled out of the rubble.
They've been gone. But it's not as much New Orleans as just everywhere else. And really, the big thing here is just the catastrophic failure of Entergy, because with the storm that we got, you know, like the major transmission lines, I know everybody knows the story, but the tower went out, all the major transmission lines into New Orleans and Eastern Jefferson are down. If that doesn't happen, then like, I probably have power in like 3 days. It's not a
bad problem. Yeah.
Just, you know, like it's a major storm, but everybody has power in a few days. The whole city is just done, and there's no way to get it back.
The main line.
Right.
What's crazy is the one tower that got completely destroyed and thrown in the Mississippi River is the same tower that was there when Katrina hit.
Yeah, it's
around. It hasn't been replaced. It hasn't been reinforced.
The exact same tower that was there.
And it didn't move. When Katrina hit, it didn't even rock. It didn't.
Right.
And then it gets completely. Well, this storm was
stronger than Katrina.
It wasn't a major. Didn't hit as close to New Orleans as it was. The problem is the tower was all rusted. They never went, you know, if they would have replaced their normal maintenance to the fucking tower. I mean, to me, a lot of this is on fucking Entergy. I mean, that's where all this is. The levees out. And
they said that particular tower, they don't really need it. Like they were planning on transitioning away from that anyway. I'm just saying what they said.
They were planning, clearly they did not.
And they have some kind of way to get around it, basically.
Well, they were going to build some gas plant in New Orleans East to provide power, but...
And it only takes 4 weeks to get around it.
Yeah.
But...
They don't need it.
It's just... Yeah, this whole thing's on... To me, this whole thing's on fucking Entergy.
So can I ask this, Jason? Like, so what for you, and I think, am I correct? You live in a kind of a more of an elevated area that's not a low lying area that floods easily, right?
No, my where I live does not flood. My house is also built up another 5 or 6 feet. So I was never worried about flooding.
With your house being built up and you having a generator, I understand your thought process of I'm going to ride this out and see how bad it is and see if I need to leave. What I don't understand, and help me with this, I have lived in New Orleans, but if there was a storm, I was leaving New Orleans for that storm.
Where a lot of people don't have the means.
What I find questioning is when people say, I'm staying, and then 30 minutes into the storm are putting out SOS for I need help, somebody come rescue me, which puts more people at risk. Like, So living in New Orleans, Jason, like, can you tell me at all? Like, I'm actually curious.
Okay, so I'll give you my thought.
I get what Scott's saying. Like, some people can't do it.
So I like for Katrina, I moved out. Like, I went to my parents in La Place, so I got out of there. There was another storm that came, like, probably in 2007 or 8. I don't remember the name of the storm, but I was panicked.
Is it Gustav?
It might have been Gustav. And Renee and I, like, I was living in Metairie. She was living in Slidell. We could have stayed in Slidell. We decided to go to Florida, and Renee's house never lost power. So I'm like, okay, well, that kind of sucked. But for other storms, I'll say, but for this whole track, for everything that it showed, I was like, okay, well, it's going to hit Baton Rouge. We'll probably lose power for a couple of days. And I just figured it was going to go to Baton Rouge. And it was that wobble. He said it was.
He said reserve La Place. That's what he said.
So, well,
where'd it go?
I don't know that he said reserve La Place. I figured it would be
check the tape.
I figured it'd be Baton Rouge, Gonzales, and yes, we'd lose power for a couple of days, but we'd be back. But also, my thinking this year was, look, I've been in my house for 18 months, and I kind of want to like make sure, like, you know, nothing bad happens. Like, if this storm was projected to come right into New Orleans, I would have got out of here.
Like up the river.
I would have definitely left, and you know, because I would just assume, okay, it's going to be west. Yeah, we're going to lose power for a few days, but we're going to be okay. I have a generator. We can get by for a couple of days, and then power will be restored, and we'll be good. I didn't think it was going to hit as close as it did.
Like I said, I understand you saying you have a generator, and you know there's not going to be 4 feet of water inside your first story of your house. I mean, so I get that.
Well, as to your question, though, like, that's Jason and his situation, but all these other people, yeah. I do think that a lot of people, New Orleans, Metairie, maybe even Kenner, probably did look at the forecast and saying, you know, that's far west enough there to where we're going to get some stuff, but it's not going to be the flooding that, and really, and they
which,
were right.
Yeah, which
they were right.
We didn't get the, well, the Kenner,
wasn't the best right. case scenario. That's why I stopped at Kenner. Kenner.
Wasn't the best case scenario always that everybody in that area was going to have no power for at least 2 weeks? Wasn't that the best case scenario? No, that wasn't.
No, okay. I figured out, kind of like a normal storm, we'd be without power for like 3 or 4 days and then we'd get it back, which the generator, kind of what we did, you know, we were at home for 2 or 3, maybe like 3 days. And we could have got by, and then once power kicked back on, we would have been good.
Gotcha. I think a lot of people probably also thought the storm was going to move faster than it did, because it came in fast.
You're right. It started fast and then slowed down in the Gulf.
She was a bitch.
It stopped. I mean, it pretty much sat.
Yeah. If she had gone through at her normal speed and not deviated from her path, like I said, we'd have lost power for 2 or 3 days, and then we'd be fine.
But again, this all goes back to, you know, people didn't learn their fucking lesson with Katrina, apparently. And they didn't learn their lesson with all the other, with watching Laura last year. And here we are, where at the end of the day, if you have a Category 3, and this is actually a 4, to me, like
almost a 5.
I would say I would probably not evacuate for a 2. Yeah. A 3, I would start to be like, you know what? Katrina was a 3. Maybe it's worth evacuating.
Well, it's probably, I mean, or smart, like our friend Gunn, like, for a 4.
And I mean, really, like, going through, you know, like, we had power until about maybe like 1 or 2 o'clock Sunday. So I'm like, okay, maybe we'll be okay. And then it, you know, it wobbled. But like being in there with the wind gust of up to 80, 90, 100, like, it was.
And it's, you know, it's pretty scary, because I mean, the power's out. There's no, that's the only thing you hear is the wind blowing?
Yeah. We like I had the generator running, and we have for some reason our cable and internet is fiber and it's buried, so that's still where I'm not on Cox. So I've been able to have internet and TV at least, but you know, oh yeah.
So Jason, do you like Cox?
Not as much as Dave.
Not as much as Dave.
Or Ben. But again, with your fiber, you don't need your TV. You can watch TV on your phone if you want to entertain yourself.
And it's weird. My dad, who's in Southwest Louisiana in a like pretty lowland area that floods like when somebody spills a cup of ice, he said it rained for 10 minutes and then it was 87 degrees and sunny. And that's it. He got 10 minutes worth of rain as the storm like first kind of hit.
I mean, like, look, just a couple of even when we did the Hurricast, I'm like, I just figured like with a constant, you know, like even the hurricane center was like, Baton Rouge is going to get nailed. Yeah, like if it goes to Baton Rouge, we're going to be for the most part fine.
Yeah, it wasn't as wide of a storm, you know. So you were 20, 30, 40 miles away from the eye. You weren't going to get much.
I mean, it was just like
relatively speaking.
It was just that wobble. Right. Kenner got nailed pretty hard.
Yeah.
You know. And but a lot of people stayed because they figured, "Oh, Baton Rouge, like we're going to be for the most part okay."
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought it was going to be more your Baton Rouge.
But, you know, like in this day and age, the storms appear to be stronger and they're hitting. So, I think this is the one for sure. There's going to be like everybody's going to leave now, forward.
I will say after Katrina that the houses that got rebuilt were mandated that they had to be built so high off the ground.
I mean, it depends where you were.
Mostly, I think in Orleans, it was. Yeah. Or it was mandated pretty much that it had to be a certain feet off the ground. So most of the houses were built back higher and may not have gotten water damage.
The only area in New Orleans that had any maybe flooding issues were like, I know Lakewood, like there was a certain section of Lakewood that had some flooding issues, but I think for the most part, New Orleans avoided the flood. It was just the wind, but
the wind and then the power. There was the
videos
being out,
we were looking
so
at of the fire station that was completely underwater. Yeah, there was a couple of videos y'all were sending. Was that Laplace?
No, that was like down south where it really hit a lot.
They got
down there. Yeah, look, they
like, down the bayou,
right? Like, down the bayou, like Grand Isle.
They had like 9 feet of water in some of those places.
I mean, look, Laplace got a lot, and like Laplace just broke ground on a new levee that they're going to build to prevent against the lake.
Just missed it.
The lake intrusion, because over the last few years, whenever it rains hard or there's a minor storm, it always floods back there by the off ramp on I-10. Well, and so they finally broke ground on this levee. And that's really the areas of Laplace that took it the worst in terms of flooding.
To be fair, but right now between Africa and the Caribbean, there's a couple of storms coming that they are worried about could be as bad as Ida. That obviously that's way early, and you never know how those things are going to go. But
oh look,
there's an enormous storm that just left Africa.
Like a week ago, we're like, oh yeah, this might be something. We don't.
Ida was nothing.
There's nothing. It ended up being one of the worst storms to ever hit Louisiana.
And that's, I mean, if you remember after Katrina, Rita hit what like a month after.
Yeah.
So 90, I mean,
it's, probably 90. It's, I thought it was closer than that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably about three weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not unprecedented that you get back-to-back storms.
You know, I mean, I always kind of knew at some point we're going to get another one big and we just have to hope we can hold. I mean, the good news is for this storm, the levees held, but we didn't get New Orleans didn't get a ton of rain per se, but at least they held. But a lot of this is just the power infrastructure is just insufficient. And that's why we're stuck. I mean, that's why we're stuck.
So, yeah, there's a disturbance down there off of South America. There's Kate, which is pretty much in the center of the ocean. And then there's a tropical depression 12 off the coast of Africa. That Kate looks...
No, I don't think... Kate's going to stay...
Kate's going to go
north. It's going to stay north.
Into the Atlantic, yeah.
You think it's too far?
Yeah. She's gonna like fizzle out.
All right, and well, 12 might be the one. And they usually take about
it was
a week.
12 was 12 was the one that, as it was building in Africa, they were like, "If this thing's getting huge, this could, right. if this well, goes one think, way, it could be bad."
Wasn't Andrew back in '92? I think was one that started over there off of Africa, came across like fucked Florida up.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And then rebuilt itself in the Gulf.
And fucked us up.
Yep. They don't seem like they cross Florida that much anymore.
Well, I mean, Michael hit Florida and really fucked up the panhandle 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But like they don't really like cross like Miami or remember, like, I remember like Hurricane Hugo being a big deal back when. And that hit like what, South Carolina or North Carolina? I just remember here Hurricane Hugo being a big deal.
And you know, people always like,
where did Hugo?
Why do you build back? But I mean, everywhere has some kind of something. Like, you know, they just close all these national forests in California because of the wildfires. They have wildfires, they have mudslides, they have earthquakes. Up north, you got snowstorms, blizzards, you know, Midwest, you have tornadoes. I mean, everywhere has got something. So yeah, it's just kind of a pick your poison kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, like any of these storms, like they can go to Galveston and just fucking, like, they could have wrecked Galveston with a
cat. They've done it. It's happened before.
Yeah. It's like, you know? what do you do?
Louisiana purchase was one of the greatest real estate deals made. It was extremely strategic. The Port of New Orleans is one of the most important ports for the United States. The Gulf Coast is huge for oil, whether you agree with, you know, big oil or not. I mean, yeah, people have to live here. And so we have to build a society here. And so we have to rebuild. I think, yeah, that was another thing I saw on Twitter was some people were worried that the country was going to, again, be not supportive of rebuilding because it's like, well, why are we going to do this every 15 years and blah, 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 blah. Well, it's an important thing and we have to rebuild. And if you're not going to get all the donations and everything, whatever, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to do it ourselves if we have to, well, because that's what Louisianians do.
Well, here's the thing too now. Like nowadays, like you're getting hurricanes in fucking New York. You're getting storms up that way. So yeah, like you're going to get one of these major storms. Like let's say 12 stays a little north, rides up the East Coast at like a category 3 and rams into Manhattan. Are you going to tell me not to rebuild New York? Right. No.
By the way, Tropical Depression 12, when it becomes a tropical storm, it's going to be named Larry.
Fucking Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry. Y'all remember that game?
Larry David.
Yeah.
So you were talking about, Jeff, about donations, stuff like that. One thing that was cool is that Rita Benson gave $1 million to Reba. And the Baltimore Ravens owner and Arthur Falcons. Blank Arthur gave Blank. $1 million. Each gave $1 million.
We can return his check.
Yes. It'll probably bounce. Leonard Fournette gave $100,000 of his own money.
And Arthur Blank, yep. Arthur Blank gave Calvin Ridley the check to bring to us, and he dropped it.
You sure that wasn't Jamar Chase? He's been dropping passes.
But, I have noticed that a lot of my friends that evacuated, I'm getting text messages like, I'm just tired of this. Like, and they're talking about possibly moving.
I mean, look,
you know,
at some point that has to be worrisome.
I could see. I mean, it happens. I mean, you start to get the fatigue and you start to say, why am I going to go through this and put myself through this and rebuild and all that nonsense? And
but some of it too is like, I mean, dude, I get it. I just built a house there, but like, I love being there, man. There's so much more shit to do. I go up to Alexandria and it's like, yeah, it's nice. They have electricity and showers. But where can I go to eat and drink and have fun?
You'll find out on Thursday.
We're going to Quebedos.
Okay.
Jesus. Actually, that'd be a good place to go.
Oh, no. We did that last time. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. I was like, eh.
Oh, you went to Quebedos last time?
What about somebody mentioned Spirits?
Spirits is really good. The service is hit or miss. The food's always been good.
Again, there's like two or three places where it's like, I got too many places to pick.
You want fancy? We can go to Diamond Grill.
I thought we were saving fancy for Nashville.
Still not good. Ember, we take him to Ember. But either way, I mean, I get your point. You're right. Like, yeah, New Orleans is
right. I mean, look, we're always going to be here. We're gonna have to deal. The problem is these storms seem to be getting worse and worse. That's the problem. But we're not going to be the only spot hit by it. I mean, it's going to hit Texas. It's going to hit Florida. It's going to hit all because of the
cow farts.
But you want to know something else? So like when Michael hit Panama City, for example, or when all these other storms hit other places. I wonder if Houston, for example, too, if like, I don't know, I don't think that they have the same type of response that we do. And maybe it's because New Orleans is a small enough city and the region, it seems like everybody kind of knows everybody, or everybody knows enough people to where you, we really do connect. And it's like, you feel like, you know, so many people. Whereas like in Houston, it's kind of like everybody's a bunch of strangers. Or if it was in Panama City, is everybody a bunch of strangers? Whereas here, it's kind of like you get on Twitter, you get on different social medias, and there's so many overlapping connections, and you realize, and it's kind of, it becomes personal. Like, and granted, I grew up down there, and Scott, you grew up down there. So it's definitely, you, you know more than maybe most, but you can certainly, if you just sat and observed, you can see how many people know each other or know somebody who knows your mom and them. To yeah. where it's like a family. Yeah, the whole Southeast Louisiana, even the river parishes, you know, it's like yeah. a big family.
A big city with a small town city feel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because everybody knows, you know, you can go eat.
And no, it ain't like Alabama where they're all related, okay?
No, it's not like that.
Well, I mean, look, it just, it's, look, it sucks. You're always going to have a lot of flooding. But to me, it's like we have to do a better job of making sure our, like our power grid and our infrastructure is ready to handle these, because we are going to get these with the way the conditions are. We're going to get these from here on out. So we have to prepare for that.
See,
we
and
have
that's, to. That's where I think Scott's friends, if I lived down there, my reason for leaving wouldn't necessarily be because there's storms. It would be because I don't trust the powers that be to not be corrupt.
They don't fix shit. I mean, every time a storm comes in, the damn pumps go down because they don't get power to the pumps. I mean, figure it out.
Well, it's a lot of incompetence. But if you look at the levee systems that they pump the money into, those work this time. Now, granted, we didn't have as much rain as we did before, but the levees worked.
They did. The pumps didn't, but the levees would.
Right. But
off subject, breaking news, the Saints have just reached a agreement with TCU to use their practice facilities. Okay. I would say that here locally, that was kind of expected. Sean Payton's, one of his sons goes to TCU, but they're just got announced, and TCU has a new amazing indoor facility that they practice at. They do. So.
And apparently they're probably about to get a big donation to upgrade that facility even more.
Welcome to Benson Field at TCU.
She's got to write another $1 million.
Okay. So yeah, I'm done with the Hurricanes, but yeah, the last few days have been pretty rough for a lot of us down there. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll be back up and running soon, and I'll be ready to get back in the Dome in week 4, because that's what I would anticipate.
Glad you're okay. And also, I mean, it's at least this storm, at least what we're hearing so far, is a lot of like power off and kind of some physical devastation. Oh, but we're not hearing a lot about a lot of loss of life right now.
No.
I mean, at least you know, hasn't come out. So good news with that. This seems to be,
you know, there's a handful trickling out lower on, but like especially where we're at, it's mostly like the down trees. Like that, the amount of trees that were down was just insane to see.
Oh, but the videos you had just of a few houses there, the amount of trees and limbs and all was crazy.
Now, what I wonder is, again, because we all look at New Orleans, and if anything, we're looking at kind of like the surrounding area. I'm not hearing a whole lot about down the bayou, about Houma. And the only thing we are hearing is from them is, why is nobody talking about us? We took some, you know, a direct hit too. And I do wonder what's, maybe that's where you might start to find more injuries and maybe even deaths and, you know, down in Lafourche.
Well, I mean, look at Lake Charles. I mean, nobody talked about Lake Charles getting hit, you know, last year, and they just, that place is still decimated.
It got hit twice last year.
It got hit twice.
Lake Charles is, I mean, and y'all know this, was a big city before Katrina. Katrina hit it hard, but then it's gotten like more and more. Each storm has come in. Lake Charles just is, that's a shell of itself. That's a weird city to drive through. That so much of it has been abandoned. Well,
gotten hit by 3 hurricanes in the last 2 years. We're not talking little hurricanes.
Yeah.
They got hit by 3 fuck up hurricanes. And last year as well, in the last 2 years, and there was a bad storm, just a regular old spring storm that produced tornadoes and shit. So yeah, Lake Charles has taken out of all of Louisiana. You want to feel sorry for somebody. I mean,
16 years ago, Lake Charles was a city. Like that was like
a lot of oil.
Anywhere, It was like a destination to go to spend a weekend and go shopping and stuff. Yeah, that was better than Alexandria and stuff like that. Once Lake Charles started getting killed, Alexandria became the place to go.
He ain't lying.
You want to go to the retired Air Force base? What are you gonna do in Lake Alexandria? Applebee's, we have
Diamond Grill.
Well, and if you think about it too, I mean, think it's like closed. a year after Katrina, everything was still like rebuilding wounds. We don't even shit about Lake Charles now.
Yeah, nothing.
It's kind of fucked up, but
it's just that the country's gonna. Now I wonder if right, is there going to be another resurgence of Hollywood taking interest in New Orleans, or again, are we not the flavor of the month anymore?
They should be taking interest in LaPlace.
They can film some zombie shows.
That
in
was based
Lake
off
Charles.
Of, that was only because they were getting tax credits to film.
Oh, they're still getting those. Hey, they filmed Memphis Beat in LaPlace in my parents' house. Right?
Oh, all right.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring back Memphis Beat.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that's right. You have a picture with
my avatar is me with Jason Lee when he was filming Memphis Beat in my parents.
I do. I remember seeing that picture.
I don't think the pilot was ever picked up, was it?
It ran for 2 seasons.
Classic Jeff.
I got to do it right in his face.
All right, final thoughts. Wes.
Oh, my final thoughts will go out to what could be the memory of Dave Romero, who's struggling with COVID, but actually what might kill him is his wife, who also has COVID and won't stop whining and driving him crazy.
They're stuck in a house.
Thoughts out to you, Dave Romero. I hope you're,
is that why he's not recording tonight? Is that why there's no beer this week?
Both of those, because one, we don't want to hear her complaining in the background, and then also his throat hurts.
I thought he was worried about flooding with that big puddle that he took a picture of.
Oh, that's right. He's got a storm on top of Co. So he actually got it because last I had heard, he didn't have it.
He will maintain his clean record by not going and getting a test. And so he can't confirm or deny whether or not he has COVID. But his whole family has COVID and his throat hurts.
His throat hurts. He's tired. He's sore. He can't breathe. He coughs all the time. Right, napping a lot.
Thoughts to you, Dave Romero.
Right, he's getting the immunity the good old fashioned way.
Beckham.
Scott, final thoughts.
I also need some thoughts and prayers. My wife got her second COVID shot today and started her monthly cycle on the same day. So the next few days are going to be entertaining.
Okay, that's why you were late to the show.
At least she knocked them out together.
And she got the flu shot too. I don't know why she got that shot, but she got that one too.
With?
So prayer for me as well.
No wonder why Scott wants to drink.
Yes, I need drinks, many of them.
All right, Jason, final thoughts.
This goes out to my hometown of LaPlace, Louisiana. Took it hard. It's going to be a rough time for a while. So, look, just persevere, get through it. It's going to be hard. A lot of people in LaPlace, a lot of people in the area. It's a tough spot. But we'll find a way to get through it. I'm fortunate enough that I can get out. A lot of people can't. A lot of people have a lot more damage than I had. So it sucks. The whole thing sucks. But this is kind of what we do. We deal with it and we get stronger and we go forward. So to all you people out there, you know, good luck, be safe. And we'll celebrate when Jameis Winston hosts up a Super Bowl trophy, because it's coming. We are going to win a Super Bowl with Jameis Winston on it right now.
We coming.
And the Atlanta fans will be pissed, and every other NFL fan will be saying, oh, I see the NFL gave the Saints a Super Bowl because of Ida, just like they did for Katrina back in 2009. Same.
Do we have to wait 4 years again, or?
No, I think just, fuck it. Let's just do it in 1 year. Fuck it. We'll do it this year. Calling it. My first bowl prediction sure to go wrong, that I'm going to spoil and not save for this weekend super show. The Saints will win the Super Bowl.
I'll call Roger and make sure that gets...
That's all the show we have for you right now. All right, final thoughts. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including this, the Dome Patrol podcast, also the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that we do after each of the games, the BS and Beer Saints podcast that Dave will start recording when he doesn't have COVID. The Pelican Plunge podcast that starts up in basketball season. The Premier League podcast from James and Ben. Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. The Tiger's Den with Scott. And Jason's dog tags shaking in the background. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at DS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. That's a hard one to say. Dome Patrol Prem.
Right? Because it's Premier League, but Prem.
Right? It should be Dome it Patrol sound right. Prem.
It should be Dome Patrol Premier.
Premier.
I think that was probably taken.
It probably was, but then just
why would that be taken?
Put a one after it.
Why would that be?
Capitalize
Patrol. Why was Don't Patrol UK taken?
Follow us on Facebook and, of course, on Twitch for live streams when that happens at twitch.tv.
We should definitely do a live stream for a crossover.
Cool, maybe. At twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. We usually do. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, what was that original old-fashioned thing?
Oh, Dome Patrol Podcast?
Yeah.
Cassette players?
What?
Cassette player?
No, sir. Didn't like it.
Good night, donkeys.
I didn't say it yet. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, single-screen donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation. Pop the peas.